Good evening, and welcome to eBible Fellowship's Bible study in the book of 1 Samuel. Tonight is study number 83, and we're going to be looking at 1 Samuel 4, verse 18. It came to pass, when he made mention of the ark of God, that he fell from off the seat backward by the side of the gate, and his neck brake, and he died, for he was an old man and heavy, and he had judged Israel 40 years. And as we were saying in the last study, falling backwards has only a negative connotation in the Bible. There's nothing positive found in the Bible about falling backwards. We took a look at the Gospel of John in chapter 18, and we saw when Judas came with a band of men to take Jesus in the garden. Let's quickly look at this in John 18. In verse 4, Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, Whom seek ye? They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus saith unto them, I am he. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. As soon then as he had said unto them, I am he, they went backward and fell to the ground. And that response of Christ, that I am he, he is in italics because Jesus just said, I am. And that is the name of God, the name that God gave to Moses at the burning bush when Moses asked, well, who shall I say has sent me? And the response of God was, tell them, I am has sent you. It is the eternal name of the ever-existent God, the everlasting God of the Bible, the great I am. And upon hearing it, Judas and the band of men fell backward. And that action of falling backward is an indicator that they were under the wrath of God. The judgment of God was upon Judas, and we need to remember that at that time he was infilled with Satan. Satan had entered into him earlier, and it was an action that indicated the judgment of God upon the men that were with him, and also upon the ones that had sent them, the Jewish authorities, the Sadducees and Pharisees and the chief priests. This was God's judgment on Israel. Now, I won't say if, because this is the will of God, and God certainly wanted them to fall backward, it is an equivalent action to calling down fire from heaven. Because in the Old Testament, there was also a captain and a band of men, 50 men, that came to take a prophet, and they came at the commandment of the king of Israel to bring the prophet Elijah back in order to reveal to the king whether he would recover from his sickness. And when they came and tried to apprehend Elijah the prophet, fire was called down from heaven and burned up the captain and his 50, and that happened 2 times. And Christ is the prophet that Moses prophesied of, that would come, the great prophet, as Jesus is spiritually a prophet, a priest, and a king. And when they came to apprehend Jesus, well, Christ could have called down fire from heaven in a moment and instantly burned them up. But since he had to do the will of the Father in going to the cross and allowing himself to be taken, to be put on trial, and all the events that would follow, he did not call down fire from heaven, but instead substituted this action of falling over backwards, which again is the equivalent to calling down fire from heaven. And that's why when we read the book of Revelation concerning Satan's rule in the churches during the Great Tribulation period in Revelation 13, it speaks of the beast And that's the name God has given him exclusively for the great tribulation. And it says of the beast in Revelation 13, verse 13, "And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men." Now, since the great tribulation has ended, the 23 years from 1988 to 2011, we should have seen this in evidence in some churches, at least somewhere. Fire should have been called down from heaven in the sight of men. It would have been recorded in some way. There would have been eyewitnesses to this. And, of course, we didn't see any literal fire coming down from heaven. But we have to ask the question, did we see the equivalent, which is falling over backwards? And the answer is yes, we have seen the equivalent in many churches and congregations. There has been a phenomenon that has taken place over that period of time in which churches involved in charismatic activity and speaking in tongues and dreams and visions, churches that have added to the Word of God, they're not true gospels. They have added and therefore are another gospel, and they've been looking outside of the Bible for some indicator of God's working. So they were fair game for Satan, as he was given this ability to cause people to fall over backwards. And that was a sign in evidence in the churches and congregations during the Great Tribulation. Well, anyway, that ties in to Eli, as he hears the news that the ark of God is taken, and immediately, without delay that we can see, according to the account God has given us, he fell from off the seat backward. And that is a physical action. It happened historically. This actually took place. A man from Benjamin entered the city. Eli was watching by the gate, and the whole multitude of the city began to cry out because they heard the awful news, the terrible tidings of what had taken place this day. And then Eli personally was told by the messenger, and Eli, after hearing Israel had fled, there was a great slaughter amongst the people, that his own two sons were killed. And finally, upon hearing the news, the ark of God was taken, he fell backward. That was an evidence that Eli and his house, and actually the whole nation of Israel, were under the judgment of God. It identifies with the end of the church age and the beginning of the Great Tribulation back in May of 1988. And, of course, since the Ark of God is taken, which typified the presence of God with his people, that it means that when the church age ended, the Holy Spirit came out of the midst. And we know that from other verses. So it fits perfectly that God is teaching that when he brings a judgment upon a rebellious people that identify with him, a corporate body of some kind, like Israel of old or the church of the New Testament, then it means God departs from them. He is no longer with them. And we also learned a few studies back, this is why the Bible has language indicating that the professed people of God that are experiencing his judgment are desolate, without an inhabitant. The inhabitant that they lack is God himself. The churches have almost 2 billion people in their buildings, so they're not desolate that way. They don't lack inhabitants that way. But the one person they do not have there is the Lord God himself. And he is the one that matters, not most, but supremely. Without him, the church is nothing. It is worthless. It is of no benefit spiritually to anyone. There is no blessing whatsoever to any individual in the churches and congregations as long as God himself has absented himself from the congregation. The Bible speaks of a time when God says that he will curse your blessings. And it's always been a blessing to have the Bible, to be able to sing praises to God, to offer up prayers to him. Except when the Lord has departed, then those things, normally blessings, become cursed. There's no blessing to anyone in the congregation when the Bible is read. There's no blessing when the pastor preaches something that is true to the Bible. There's no blessing even when a great hymn of the faith is sung. And there's no blessing when people in the congregation are praying to God, because God isn't there and he has said he will not hear. They were in a position, the individuals coming out of the church were in a position where once again they could be blessed through scripture and singing and praying, and all those things could once again be a blessing. Well, let's read verse 18 again. He fell from off the seat backward by the side of the gate. Eli was at the gate of the city of Shiloh. He wasn't at the tabernacle or the house of God. He wasn't at his home. He was by the gate. And that's fairly common. It's fairly typical for the people of a city when their men go forth to battle, or the people of a nation who are fighting a war, for their leader, especially someone like Eli, who was a judge of Israel, to remain at the gate of the city. And we can see this in 2 Samuel chapter 18, and I'll read verses 3 and 4. And it says, but the people answered, thou shalt not go forth. And this is referring to David. For if we flee away, they will not care for us. Neither if half of us die, will they care for us. But now thou art worth 10,000 of us. Therefore now it is better that thou succor us out of the city. And the king said unto them, what seemeth you best I will do? And the king stood by the gate side, and all the people came out by hundreds and by thousands. So David was held back from going to the battle. He was a warrior king. He was a great fighter himself, we know, from the account of when he slew Goliath, and he often went to battle with his men. But now it was a different story. He was a little older, and his men wisely instructed him to stay behind, because if David were slain in battle, well, the war would be over. It was a battle concerning who would be king. Would it be David or Absalom? And it turns out that once Absalom is slain, the man who wanted to be king, David's son, that the battle did end. And so this was wise counsel. And as a result, the king accepted it, and he stayed back and stood by the gate side. He waited, and as the armies went forth out of the gate, David remained by the gate. A little further on, in verse 24, it says, and David sat between the two gates, and the watchman went up to the roof over the gate unto the wall, and lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a man running alone. That's where David remained in order to receive tidings. Just as Eli was by the gate side, he also was watching. We read in that passage. Of course, the problem with Eli and his watching is the account also informed us that Eli could not see. He was a blind watchman. And that sums up really the problem of Israel of old and of the church of our day. They're given the assignment, the task of being spiritual watchmen. As God says, when you see the sword approaching, you're to blow the trumpet and warn the people. Well, Eli was watching by the side of the gate, and he couldn't see anything. It was only after all the people, who more than likely were also by the gate, that they cried out at the news, that Eli heard the tumult, and then he realized something was going on. But he could see nothing. And that reminds us of what God says in Isaiah 56, in verse 10. His watchmen are blind. They are all ignorant. They are all dumb dogs. They cannot bark, sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. Yea, they are greedy dogs which can never have enough. They are shepherds that cannot understand. They all look to their own way, everyone for his gain from his quarter. Come ye, say they, I will fetch wine, and we will fill ourselves with strong drink. And tomorrow shall be as this day, and much more abundant. These verses are filled with strong language, and it's a strong condemnation by God, who knows the hearts of those that profess to be his people and therefore profess to be watchmen. He knows their blindness. He knows their ignorance. He knows they have no real understanding. And so, of course, when God opened up information from the Bible concerning the timing of Judgment Day, the timing of the beginning of the end, and we learned about the timing of the Great Tribulation and the end of the church age. Well, what did those in the churches and the congregations say about that? Oh, they didn't listen to it. They didn't believe it. They thought God would never do such a thing to them and leave them and forsake them and abandon their congregations. They really, it could only be said, they haven't read the Bible in an understanding way. How could they think that God, who gives so many examples of what he does when a corporate body, when those who are his representatives to the world, when they are disobedient, when they fail to honor him, again and again, he has given them up into the hands of their enemies. How could they think that they were above this, that this would never happen to the churches? Oh, no, this will never happen to us. It's only a result of the spiritual blindness that has overcome all churches, that they could feel that they were above the judgment of God, even when God has written verses such as judgment begins at the house of God. They fail to comprehend. They fail to realize exactly what God is saying. They don't understand what it means in 2 Thessalonians 2 when it speaks of the man of sin taking his seat. And to take your seat means to rule in the temple, showing himself that he is God. They don't connect that it applies to them. They fail to understand that God speaks in parables and that Israel and Judah are actually pictures of themselves and the temple also a type of the church. Again and again, they are shown to be blind watchmen, watchmen that do not understand the judgment of God. And God's fully aware that this would be the case. If we go to Jeremiah 8, it says in verse 7, yea, the stork in the heaven knoweth her appointed times, and the turtle and the crane and the swallow observe the time of their coming. But my people know not the judgment of Jehovah. And it was true in the days when Christ came. He came and they did not know that it was the end of Israel, that when Jesus went to the cross and the veil of the curtain was rent in twain, that ended God's close relationship with Israel. They would no longer be his representatives. And the church followed suit and has no knowledge even till today that God has given them up and over into the hands of Satan. And they became like the image to the beast. While going back to 1 Samuel 4, it says, continuing on in verse 18, he fell from off the seat backward by the side of the gate, and his neck brake, and he died. Now, the fact that Eli fell backward is an indicator he was under the wrath of God, but so too is the breaking of his neck. This is a word that's only found here in this verse, the word for neck. But the same idea is seen in Exodus chapter 13. And this is, it will have the English word for neck, but the Hebrew word is different. Yet we can see the relationship. It says in Exodus 13:13, "And every firstling of an ass thou shalt redeem with a lamb." Now, an ass, at times in the Bible, typifies believers. And in order to see that, just read about Balaam and his ass when God opened up the mouth of the donkey, and the donkey was able to see really God himself standing in the way against Balaam with his sword drawn, and God opened up the eyes of the donkey. He opened up the mouth of the donkey, and he spared the donkey. But Balaam was the target of God's wrath because he was a false prophet who again typifies those who are unsaved within the congregations. So here, when it says every firstling of an ass, thou shalt redeem with a lamb, to redeem is language of redemption, which is language of salvation. And God is using the ass as a figure. If it's redeem with a lamb, as Christ is the lamb which taketh away the sin of the world, then the ass may live. And that's what God has done with all those he has saved. But on the other hand, it goes on to say, and if thou wilt not redeem it, that is, if it does not become saved, then it's typifying just an unsaved person. Then thou shalt break his neck, and all the firstborn of man among thy children shalt thou redeem. So either you redeem the ass, or if the ass is not redeemed, you break his neck. And that would be pointing to salvation or experiencing judgment because you have not been redeemed. Your sins have not been paid for. And that's exactly the case with Eli. He was a priest of Israel. He was a judge, but he was never saved. He was not a true child of God. He bore his sins. He had to pay for his own sins, and the penalty is death. If you're not redeemed, well, then your neck is to be broken. And Eli typifies those in the churches, all the masses of people that number about 2 billion souls that identify themselves as Christian, that profess to be children of God. Yet the problem is they have not been redeemed. And that's why they stayed when God commanded to come out. That's why they remain. They are not redeemed by a lamb, by the Lord Jesus Christ. And so God brought judgment upon them, and he has broken their neck in that sense. Well, it goes on to say in the rest of the verse, for he was an old man and heavy. Now, Eli was 98 years old. And certainly that is an old man, and especially in our day, but even in that day, he was someone that was very aged. He was almost 100 years old, and on top of that, he was heavy. Now, earlier we know that God spoke of him as a very fat man, and we know that he was overweight, that with his advanced age and his weight problem, as soon as he lost his balance, once he heard the news, that's all it took, the moment that he started going back in shock at the hearing that the ark was taken, then his great weight took him and he fell backward and hit the ground at an angle and his neck broke and he died. Now, God says in Ezekiel chapter 9, and Ezekiel 9 is a small chapter, but in it, it is describing the judgment of God on the sanctuary of God or the house of God. And it says in Ezekiel 9 verse 5, and to the others, he said in mine hearing, go ye after him through the city and smite. Let not your eye spare, neither have ye pity. Slay utterly old and young, both maids and little children and women, but come not near any man upon whom is the mark, and begin at my sanctuary. Then they began at the ancient men which were before the house. Here, which is a companion verse to 1 Peter 4:17, judgment begins at the house of God, as the statement is made here, begin at my sanctuary. This is a verse that has to go hand in hand with that verse. We see also that they began at the ancient men. As God is bringing judgment, it's beginning. The battle was lost. The ark was taken. The news has reached Shiloh. And once it reaches Shiloh, the ancient man, Eli, the judge of Israel, it is slain really by God, even though it would be said to have been an accident. Of course, nobody pushed him. He just went back himself. But it is an indicator of the wrath of God upon the whole house of Eli and the whole city of Shiloh. And in turn, it's an indicator of God's wrath upon the churches of our modern day. Well, we're going to stop here. Lord willing, we'll continue with our study in 1 Samuel tomorrow evening.